Okay, we're back in Hebrews chapter 4. We'll pick it up in verse 7. And we were moving from today. We did talk about today last week. Today as the Hebrews. Today being the opportunity for them to, I would say this not in an irreverent way, but to get on the kingdom bandwagon. At this time, the Lord is, the Hebrew writer is preparing them for the offer to be extended again, which started back in Exodus, through the Exodus. The offer started there. It was suspended, so to speak. And the Lord shows up. And when the Lord shows up in his earthly ministry, it was today again. But they rejected that offer. And Hebrews is future.
So when you say suspended, are you talking about the 400 years of silence?
The mystery.
No, after Acts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll say after Acts 7.
I'm sorry. I understand what you're saying now. He showed up to Paul.
So, right. You know, and I'll just do this. So just because when they go through the Exodus, they were going to the Promised Land, right? Well, what is that, really? It's the rest that God had prepared for them. When they go through the Exodus, really, that was there today. You remember when he brought them out, when he gave them the timetable of them coming out of Egypt? It was how long? Anybody remember?
400 years.
And when that timetable expired, the scripture said that they came out that self same day. I like that word. It's just, you know, the Holy Spirit just has a way of using those words. He said the self same day. You know what? I can see it, you know, like
precision of God.
And he says, I'll be there 400 years. And you can have somebody who's waiting. And they 38, 399, 400. Bam. And here he comes. And they went out the self same day.
Who?
We don't know. You
tell us, teacher. You're looking. I'm scared. We're standing right behind you. Call out, hey.
Oh, restroom. Can you edit that? Okay. Well, they came out, and that was they were going. They were going into the rest. Well.
Restroom. Sorry.
After they were in the land and then they apostatized, they went into captivity and they come back out and then the 400 years expire. And when the Lord shows up in his earthly ministry, it's today again. And he offers them the rest. You recall a verse, I think it's in Matthew, he says, oh, Jerusalem, he said, how I long to gather you as a hen does her chicks.
But ye would not.
And they didn't know, and Luke, he says this, they didn't know the things that belonged to their rest, to their peace, he said, which is the same as rest. And he said they didn't know the time of their visitation. Well, the visit was over. He left, right? And even though he left, he says, I know that you kicked me out in ignorance. And he offered it again in Acts. Well, after that, that rest is gone too, right? After Acts. Acts 7, he leaves that off. And most people, they think that God is through with the nation Israel. That's why Hebrews is right here. And Hebrews is right after Thessalonians.
Philemon.
Right. I was thinking in my mind after the rapture.
Right.
It resumes the program again. So, but anyway, we pick up there, and he says, verse, chapter 4.
But it's, I just thought of something. Hmm? Thessalonians is the last book of doctrine, and then Hebrews is the first book of Jewish doctrine.
Okay. You can see where we are, though, right?
Right.
Where,
yeah.
And he does say in chapter 4, he says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You notice he said that the gospel which was preached to them as to us. Well, who is them?
Jews.
Yeah. He says preached to them back in the Exodus.
Right.
But their gospel,
which was... It was the kingdom gospel, but you think, what does he say? He just told them that we're going out of Egypt, what?
To go in.
To go into the land.
Now they're going out, back in.
Huh? Now they're going
out. In again, because they have to endure, because they were going to their promise last time, now they're going on to their promise.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Us is the remnant, and them is the nation.
The us, he's talking about Exodus. He uses an example.
Was preached the gospel as well as unto them.
Look back at chapter 3.
Look at back in Exodus. Us be present.
Look at the context. Uh-huh. He gives an example. He says, just like they heard it. They had an opportunity back then. He says, don't harden your hearts like they did in the provocation. And he starts to tell them about the provocation. Oh, that is the provoking. They provoked. How did they provoke God? They say it again. They didn't believe him. You know what? What's interesting is when Joshua, when they got to the land, to the border, and they were to search out the land. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He picked 12 from each tribe, leaders. He said, go in and search it out. And 40 days they searched it out. And when they came out, he said, you write the report. You write the report in a book. Seven books. He said, you write it. Isn't that interesting? Seven books. That's the, you know what, seven is not just the rest number, the Sabbath number. It's the covenant number. Victory?
That's a long stretch.
I think it's associated. Victory? Yeah, you can, because that you can't have rest until after the victory. But when he goes through that, he says, you write it in the book. For the witness. Isn't it what he said it was? Seven is really, this is why they get it. It's an oath or to swear. That's what it means.
Is that why you're supposed to forgive
70 times 7? It's all these are associated with that word, which is funny. We use the word, it turns to weak, but really that's what it means. So you think about, if he says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. But the whole thing, it ends up being, it's because it's a covenant. He shall confirm the covenant with many for what?
1 week. 1 step.
When Abraham came out of Egypt, when he tricked Abimelech, remember the Abimelech where he saw his wife and he said, I think I'll take her. And he's like, well, you said it was your sister. And he said, well, she kind of is. Do you remember that? Where he lied about that? And God was getting ready to get him. And God appeared to him in vision. And he says, hey.
Don't touch her. Don't touch that.
You know that's another man's wife, right? And he...
What?
Yeah, all right. So he goes to Abraham. He says, hey.
What are you doing?
You didn't tell me that. And he said, well, I was scared you were going to kill me. But anyway, after all that, he makes a covenant with him. Look back at we'll get back on track. Genesis 22-23. Yeah, that's wrong. Yes, 21. No, that's not it.
That'd be before Isaac. 21's the birth of Isaac.
It's 20, isn't it? Abraham slaps it.
Yep.
Yes, that's it. Why am I not seeing that? Twenty-one verse twenty-six.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Genesis 21:26. And Abimelech said, I wot or know not who had done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them did what?
Yeah.
Made a covenant. And Abram set...
Seven.
Said what?
Seven.
Seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abram, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they what? Swear both of them. Listen, thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. You see those words popping up in there? That's not a coincidence. You see them all in the same passage. You see swear, you see covenant, you see seven. And he's trying to, it really explains itself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a verse that says something like this. It says that a It says that a, I don't know, something that is an end to all strife. But at any rate, we'll move on. But he uses all these words. The contention between them was settled when they made the oath. What did they have after that?
Peace.
Peace or
rest.
Yes. I don't want to stretch this. Am I stretching this? Yes.
Hebrews 6:16.
What does it say?
For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife.
Read that again. For men.
Hebrews 6:16.
Okay. Let me get that.
Thank you, Lord, for Google.
Yes.
Zip, zip.
She says, verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So basically he's saying is the bigger man makes the oath, makes the covenant. He swears, and when he does that, that's the end of all strife. That's when the rest comes. When the greater promises you something, you can say what?
It's true.
It's true, and then you take what?
Rest.
You rest in that. So if God shows up to the children of Israel, he says, guess what? We're leaving. We're going to what?
To the
rest. To the land. That's, what do you do?
Okay.
Okay. Because he what? He can't lie, right? So anyway, since we're here, one more. Look at Genesis. I think Isaac. Maybe not.
What are the seven spirits?
All right, let's go back to Hebrews. I'm not going to fool around. I think I caught that rabbit, though, right? Yes? So he says that verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know, before they even went into captivity, God had already planned for them to what? Possess the land. Already, he promised Abraham when he called Abraham out of Ur. He says, before you go to this blessing, before you get this land, he says some things have to happen. 400 years, your seed will go into a land and serve them and be oppressed. You know, that's God. He's forcing them. He will make sure that you know it's him.
Mm-hmm.
So they go through 400 years being oppressed. They didn't even know who Jehovah was. They forgot all about it. And they go there. When Moses shows up, he says, the Lord, Jehovah, says it's time to go. Hey, who? And they said, Jehovah, the God of your fathers. Well, who is he? 400 years? That's what time will do for you.
That's
right. So, but they were going out because he promised it. He said, this is my, he says, I'm doing this for the Father's sake. Because I made a what? I made a covenant with them. You know what he says? Not because you're great in number. He said, but I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, that's why you get it. Because it's my what I promised. That's God's word. How is ours? You know, God said we're truce breakers. Remember in Timothy? He said, we're truce breakers. Verse 4, he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. When was that? Right after the sixth day. That's the creation. That's when God first institutes the Sabbath, which is what? Seventh. And it's the rest day. It's the end of the works. You said it, you know, is that the same as, you just asked, you said, is that the same as victory? Well, you don't sit down until what? Whatever the work is over. You toil first, then the rest is later. So he institutes this back in Genesis. And in verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Who was that? We just talked about that. They that did not enter in. That was coming out of Egypt. They never entered in. You see, what you see back there, what you see back here, and what you see up there, where it says new heaven and new earth and even 1,000-year kingdom, all of those rest were types of that rest. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't be the real rest. Does that make sense? A type is that this stands for something else. The Sabbath rest stands for the kingdom rest out here. So any rest in between here, they all point to the main rest.
Which is what he was offering them when he was on earth too.
Which, and yet he knew that it wasn't the rest time.
Right.
Just when he shows up and he says, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Mm-hmm. Well, he knew it wasn't today. Because there's some work that has to be done. And he's doing the work. And he says, I can't really give you today until the work is done. And today really is a rest day. To, you know what the Lord says? He says, okay, I'm providing for you Israelites. He says, 6 days you pick up the manna. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He said, on the sixth day, do what?
Double.
Pick up double because what?
Tomorrow's
it won't be out there tomorrow. It won't be out there on the seventh day because that's a what? A day of rest. Because he said today is the Lord's rest. Seventh day, guess what? They're out there picking up manna. Trying to. And what they had, he said, eat it.
Eat it all. go get more than you need.
And what did they do?
They went out there and they loaded up and it worked.
And it
because in case the Lord didn't get
it. Just, and it rotted. It rotted in the stink. But that was the rest. He told them. When they got into the land, he gave them those Sabbath days in Leviticus 23 and 25. He gave it to them. There are sevens. We talked, you remember last week? 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, 7 years, the 70 times seven. And it ends the seventh Sabbath or rest, the seventh rest. You know what it's called? Yeah. You got it. Yeah, I know that's not right. But he says that's the time when they were, that they were what?
Dwell in booths.
Now, think about this. Back there, you know that it's just a type, right? Of booths. Booths. You know what a booth is? Like a tent. You know, I thought about like a flea market. You know, you go to the flea markets, everybody's got their little booth.
It's a portable.
And
it's not a permanent structure.
How does this sound? Think about this. In my father's house,
many
a what?
Many mansions, dwelling places, booths.
If it were not so, I would not have told you. But I go to prepare a
place for you.
That where I am,
maybe. I mean, isn't the temple what's described in Ezekiel? Talks about all the chambers.
Yep. All those point to what? One major rest day. Mm-hmm. And he says, verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth, there you go Blake, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, he says again. You know, when you see that little word, he's always, that's adding proof. He did it in chapter 1 when he said, and again, he'll say this, and again, and again. It's kind of like this. He says, the psalm said this, and that's not all. It said this, but that's not it. He's just stacking the evidence. And he's stacking the evidence for the rest day. He says, David, again, he limiteth a certain day. Limit is he marked it off. He said, this right here, that's today. This day. Whatever day that was. Do you notice when God deals with the nation Israel, it's always on a time schedule? Mm-hmm. Why?
Because they're assigned people for one.
Because, you know what? Because he already knows. The rest is already prepared. What? It just told you that
from
was
the foundation of the world.
He already knows. He says, look, James, I'll be there Friday at 3:30. If I'm trustworthy, if I tell them that, I swear I'll be there. What can he do? Look for me what? Friday at 3:30. Now, God can say that. He limiteth what? A certain day. saying in David. What is it? Just a saying in David.
Or through David.
Right? Yeah. What is he? So you know what? David was what?
A prophet.
Mm-hmm. When the Psalms are all what? Prophecies. Mm-hmm. About who? Or whom?
Christ.
About the Lord. And what his accomplishments are. So when David talks about this, he says, he said in David today. After so long a time, as it is said today, if you will what?
Hear
his voice. Look at Psalm 95. Hold your hand there. Look at Psalm 95. Verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now, that's David. If David is, he's prophesying in Psalm, you know they didn't get the rest. He's writing this for some Hebrews that's going to pick up Psalm and read that and say, guess what? When the writer to the Hebrews says, this is that day that David was talking about, this is the day that he limited, that's today.
Right.
So what? The Hebrew of faith would do what? Enter into that rest. That's what he just said. He says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?
Right.
You can't beat this. You just can't beat it. He said, you know what? Accidentally. He says, if Jesus had given them rest. He didn't mean Jesus of the Gospels. He's talking about Joshua.
A type.
A what?
A type.
In a sense, if they had followed him or believed as he believed and gone on in, they'd have gotten the rest.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you know what? They did go in to the promised land. Joshua took them in.
Oh, yeah. Later.
Later. And they went in and they took some of that land. Not all of it, but they took it. And they lived there. But, you know what? They never fully rested. because they did something that God told them not to do.
They did a lot of things.
They did a lot of things, right? He said, okay, you're going in. The first thing is don't fool with them people. Don't make a league with them. Don't marry their sons. And you don't give your daughters marry their sons. None of that, he says, you be separate. And they go in. What do they do?
Mingle the
seed. And they end up getting kicked out. Mm-hmm. And even when David shows up, he gives David another type. He gives David and Solomon.
40 and 40.
He gives them a kingdom rest.
Bloody man.
Disobedient man. His Solomon, with all his wisdom, he still, after in the latter part of his reign, he was building high places.
With 666 all over him.
So, but he says, but if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. Verse 9, he says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. It's obvious, isn't it? That if it didn't happen back then, and if God can't lie, the rest is still future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it today?
No.
What are they doing today? Are they resting over there? What's that? There's far from a rest day over there, isn't it?
Oh, you mean in the country?
Yes, in the land that he told them. You know what's interesting? You just said that. When this is, I can grab this one. Back in Genesis 49, when he's given a prophecy about the. What's that?
That's an inside joke with everybody else.
Okay.
Who knows the exact verse off the top of their head?
Huh?
I got you, James. He's talking about Judah. Okay, Genesis 49. Hold your hand there.
He gives the prophecy.
This will be quick. This rabbit has a limp leg. I can catch him quickly. Yes.
Verse 8.
I can catch him quickly. 49:8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? There's your victory, Annette. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Now, you say, why'd you go there? I'm glad you asked me that. Shiloh.
Peace.
Means what?
Peace.
Rest. In there, he comes out of what? Shiloh comes out of Judah, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And he's a king, right? Mm-hmm. And when he comes, there'll be what?
Gathering of the people.
Gathering of the people and rest. as the story goes on, Shiloh it becomes a place. Did you know they had a place that is called Shiloh in the scripture? Look back at Genesis. I mean, that's what it's called. It's called Shiloh. Where is it? What's that? He said, you know what? That's not it. That was, matter of fact, where's, look at Judges. I know it's here. I know it's in Judges. That's, I can't find the verse that I was thinking of, but I know it's in Judges. Judges 18, Genesis, Exodus, Joshua, Judges. Okay. You remember Micah? Micah was a priest. When the whole nation was in apostasy, this priest went out and he began to collect idols and images. And he put them all in his house. And when another tribe was coming through, they met him and they took his priest. They took his priest that he had for himself. And they took his idols. And they went to a place and they set up idol worship in this place. Judges. Say it again. Yes. What is that? What? 1 Samuel what?
3:21.
Okay. Get that one next. 1 Samuel 3:21.
And then in 4:4, it goes on to talk about the people who were sent to Shiloh.
Okay. 1 Samuel 3:21 and Judges 18 verse 20. Verse 18:19. And I'll try to skip through here quickly. Verse 18. And these went to
my. 1 Samuel 18.
Judges 18. And these went to Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, "What do ye?" And they said unto him, "Hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men were in the houses near to Micah's house, were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, "What aileth thee, that thou comest with such a company?" You know, he chased them down because they took his idols and his priests. And you know what I like? When he caught up with them, they said, "What aileth thee?" in modern day vernacular, it's like, "What's your problem?" And he's like, "What?" He said, 24, "You have," he says, and he said, "Ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and ye are gone away. And what have I more? And what is it that ye say unto me, what aileth thee?" He said, you asking me what's wrong? He said, "You took everything I got." You know, that's bad when we joke about it, Ed, where you don't go for the man's idol.
Yeah.
You see how he acts when you go for his idol?
He
thinks, you know what? What do I have left? Right. If you take this from me, what do I have left? But anyway, drop down to verse 30. And the children of Dan set up the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made. Listen, all the time that the house of God was what?
In Shiloh.
When they were supposed to be waiting and worshiping in Shiloh, what they did was set up a whole nother system of worship, idol worship, in opposition to the true rest.
Amen.
Listen, he said it was set up how long? A couple of weeks. A month. Years. 10 years. All the time until they went into captivity. Listen. Where is it? From here to here. I wish the date was up there. That's a long time. Okay. We're going to skip that verse. No, I will look at it since you picked it. 1 Samuel
3:21.
He says, look at 3:1 first. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And this is significant. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no what? You know what? Because they were so bad, God had really stopped dealing with the prophets. Eli was a priest, and he hadn't even heard from the Lord. And Samuel's there, and verse 21 says, and the Lord appeared again unto appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. You know, before Samuel even got the vision, he didn't even know what it was. He didn't know that God was talking to him. That's how far off they had gotten. So anyway, all right, back to Hebrews. Did I lose track? Did we lose track? Okay. Verse 8, Hebrews 4:8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You know what? That's when I was reading that. You know what caught my attention in that verse? It should catch your attention, too. Say it again.
Laboring
to enter into what?
Rest.
To his rest.
They have to endure. Does that kind of speak to enduring to the end?
He says, right. How do you labor to enter into rest? They had to endure through that to the time that's coming up for them, which would be part of their. That's another seven in the tribulation. That's where he says to hold fast the profession of their faith. Is when they go through that 7 years, he said, it won't be anything like this again or ever was. He said, and if it was possible that you would, the very elect would be deceived. You know what's going to keep them steadfast? is having confidence in the person who swear that they would enter into the rest, is having confidence in the covenant. That's the only thing that will keep them focused. He says, beware, verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And he's pointing back again to what they went through.
They didn't enter into the land.
But you know, it's interesting. Like, we look at the Old Testament and we see examples. And you think about those in the tribulation. You know, like here, they're pointing back to the Old Testament. But they can also point back to Paul at that point to say, well, that's why there was that delay. And, you know, they can look at Romans 9, 10, and 11. I mean, they can... Just as we can see patterns and see that God is faithful,
right?
They'll have even more to look back and reference that, you know, God is a God of His Word and
right. Look at Romans, since you mentioned it. Look at Romans 11. This is part of like you said, knowing where you are in God's Word, you can look back and see that. When he talks about the things that were written aforetime, written for our learning, well, when their time is up again, they'll be able to look at the things that were written aforetime
to us.
And they'll say, wow, watch this. Just say you're a Hebrew, right? Mm-hmm. It's future. You have your own personal copy of scripture here that didn't get burned up or destroyed. And you pick it up.
Some kind of device.
You got it on your cell phone there or whatever.
At your electric school.
And you pick it up and you read verse 11:25. You pick up Romans 11:25 and you're right in the middle of waiting for the rest, right? And you pick it up and you're reading and you say, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, if you read that, if you're a Hebrew and you read that, how would you feel?
Time is here.
You, what'd you say, Jenny? I liked it. Time is here, right? Now you would feel not cheated, James. You would feel like
belief.
Right? I know what.
He's not done with us.
That he's gonna deliver. He says, "There shall come out of Zion the what?
Deliverer,
and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my seven." Mm-hmm. Unto them, when I shall take away their sins. You missed that, didn't you?
No,
okay. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. This is what I want. For the gifts and calling of God are what?
Without
repentance. He said, if I told you I'm going to give it to you, guess what? I'm going to give it to you. He has to. Because he could not swear by any greater. He swore by himself. And if he says you don't get it. Now sometimes he makes exceptions. In his graciousness where, you know what, if he says you don't get it, you might get it. Like David.
He can act otherwise.
But you see, when God promised them a rest, a future rest, and it's coming.
Unless the sun, moon, and stars vanish away.
That's not going to happen. You know what? And we have it immediately.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to labor.
We don't have to labor to enter into rest. And, you know, and I remember where you can ask people, are you saved? Are you trusting Christ? And they really don't piece that together when it says, are you trusting Christ? Just him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just him. Not, you know what, you start to think about what you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm drinking, I'm smoking, I got a boyfriend, I got a girlfriend. You think about your labor. You haven't entered into his rest. You haven't ceased from your works.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you say just him and his, what he accomplished, his, that's what he called his finished work. That's what we call it, that his finished work. And I don't think it really clicks with people, and they don't realize that there's still something that I'm doing that keeps me from resting.
Doing or not doing.
Or not doing.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with a family member now that totally gets justification. Christ did it. But
they don't totally get it then.
I know. That's it. I'm supposed to do the, you know, yes, I'm saved by grace through faith, but I'm supposed to do all this other stuff now that I am saved.
Okay. We're going to stop there and pick back up next week at verse 7.